Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking Season 4, Episode 7, Metanoia. This is the instant take. We've just watched the episode. Aaron, and for everyone wondering in chat, yes, this is live right now.
We're live.
Or am I saying that in a simulation? Or am I saying that in the real world? Or am I the simulation and I'm in the real world, but you can't hear me say, welcome to Watching Westworld?
Can we letterbox the live show so that people know one way or another?
Sure, we'll move it all over to the left channel. And then when we're in the simulation, it'll be left channel. When we're in the real world, it'll be right channel.
Gotcha.
And you people with mono headsets, you'll never know.
You're living in a fantasy land with your monaural sound. What the hell did we just watch, Jim? What happened? This was like... Did it feel like Joy and Nolan just flipped the chess table over? Like, fuck your theories. Here's a radical reshifting by crazy ass man in black bullet and knife.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what winning looks like to Bernard, is what I think we're supposed to understand. Like,
because he knows that humans have pants and robots don't. And so they'll win the inevitable battle.
Robots are giving up pants in favor of titanium spring feet. Which, by the way, everyone's saying, oh, Aaron, you're such a fucking dumbass. You think they're going to put their pearls in some kind of ambulatory space probes. I have not been proven right about the space probe part.
Sure.
But yes, those fucking things walk around. Those are a transcendent body. Those things are first ballot NBA All-Stars, by the way. They're 10 feet tall. They're glorious. They're glorious. I got to see how their arms work.
This feels like what happens when, like, you get Creative Labs or something standardizing around MP3 with their players. And you get all sorts of, like, you can swap out the memory. You can, like, have all these cool features where you can relabel everything yourself right on the device. And then Apple comes along and makes it look real good, but removes, like, 99% of the functionality and just gives you the stripped down version. I am yet to see anything that can compete with opposable thumbs. And until I see that, until I see some fucking Raised by Wolves Sonic destruction happening with this, or Sonic creation, frankly, because the thumbs do that better than anything. I don't know that this is an upgrade.
I think you're going to see 8 tentacles whipping out of each side, like, you know, like it completely ambidextrous, prehensile. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're talking about opposable thumbs. They got opposable tentacles.
Okay. Well, I want to see.
And there's going to be. Oh, did I say 8? I meant 10. Does that impress you? How about 16?
Yeah,
they're nanites. They can be as many as they want. Mm-hmm. They can force choke you from 50 feet away with the nano string. I don't know. I'm just babbling. Because I'm trying to stall time to think about what the end game looks like, because the man in black just went and blew everybody's pearls out and is going to, as Lisa Joy said in the after show, is going to play Red Dead Redemption Manhattan style. Mm-hmm. Which was a really cool visual. Choice Dave Bowie, man who sold the world cover. I guess original.
I think he wrote that. This is not something they do very often. This is just a straight up licensed song. This isn't a cover. This is not a player piano original. So yeah, that was strange.
Before going, welcome. I promised myself I would do better about this. If you're joining us live, this is your opportunity to go ahead and chat, put in your questions, comments, theory, crafting, whatever, and we'll get around to as many as we consider here in the instant talk portion that you'll be starting as soon as me and Jim run out of steam. So the big question I've got now is, like, this is what it looks like for Bernard to win. Mm-hmm. How? Second question is, why did they open up a giant rift in the sublime?
Yes.
That seems important.
Seems dangerous.
It seems dangerous. Yeah, you're leaving the barn door open. What is going to happen with all your horses? What's the third? I had a third question too. Oh, what does it mean that Christina's not real? This is the real world, but you're not real. No one, they're like a ghost. I noticed several times a character should have seen them.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, mm-hmm. I thought like, oh, Maz, this is the two timeline. This is the fucking two timeline. They just walked past. They should have seen each other. They didn't. But she's not real. Is this going to be she's been running in a simulation this whole time?
I guess. I mean, isn't that what we thought maybe at the beginning might be happening? Or at least that was my theory, like some video game simulation thing that she was in. But it doesn't seem like she's in the simulation. She is the simulation. That's the difference. She's in the real world as a simulation.
Yeah, because it's not like when she recontextualized and looked around, I thought those bodies were going to be gone. But they're still there.
I thought the aspect ratio would change, but it doesn't.
That's the other thing. I thought it was going to creep in, but like she still, I guess, doesn't understand, or maybe we don't know what that means.
Well, if she's the simulation, because he says like you're in the real world, but they can't see you because you're a simulation.
But what the fuck is real, but
you're not. I don't know.
Like, what is her POV? Is it a drone? Is it yeah.
Yeah.
So she like walks like a ghost in a simulated version of the real world where things are happening in real time, and that's how she adjusts people. Like she writes narratives and then the tones play and it makes it real.
I guess so.
Because yeah.
The maybe, you know, we've been looking in the wrong direction the whole time, and it's not that they don't have very good surveillance. It's that they have excellent surveillance to where they can create an simulation of the world, and she's inhabiting that, and it's being like real time mapped onto the real world.
To what end? Because the other I have a bunch of satellite questions. Like, apparently everyone at Olympiad who's writing stories is a fucking human except Christina.
I guess so.
Or does Christina have the ability to order host and human alike?
That I don't know. Yeah, I guess the answer to the first depends on the answer to the second.
I feel like this, if all of those people were hosts and she had the power to control them both, I feel like that would solve a lot of the problems I had earlier where like her boss just knows everything, you know, like literally knows everything about the world. Yeah, but I also thought that would turn out to be a Lawrence Dolores copy. He's just, they're still AWOL.
I still don't even know who this Christina is. Like,
Teddy will refuse to actually say she is Dolores.
Right.
He says you're very much like her. You're this and that. But he calls her Dolores
and then goes back on it again, I think.
Right. Is that because there's two timelines?
in a simulation of the real world that's also happening in the real world. God,
if she is a simulation inside the real world, is Teddy? Or is Teddy actually there talking to no one? So who did Teddy beat? Who attacked her? Is a figure? So I'm like, you know, like where does this all fucking end?
Yeah. How did Peter attack her?
Maya seems like a real person that has these nightmares of being her family being infested by flies. You've got a real life person being the minder for we don't know. I have no idea what you're not real means in this context. Holy shit.
And why those people can't see her, but her coworkers and her boss and Teddy and all these other people can. Mm-hmm. No, that's good. Good question. And how they even got her back. Like she was deleted. I think this is like a reconstruction of her a la Caleb, right? Like you can just kind of make people now.
Yeah,
I don't know if Caleb's going to lose fidelity. Like, are we going to get a tragic ending next episode where Caleb just goes all the way
starts
down?
His brain starts melting right in the middle of them celebrating. Like imagine in the indoor celebration in Return of the Jedi, I have Luke comes back to the campfire, just starts shredding his face. Sometimes when you look up the Death Star, the Emperor looks right back down at you as he's just shredding his face. Wouldn't be as fun. Wouldn't be as fun, I don't think. I don't think Billy D would be clapping his hands as much if he had that kind of finale. So bigger shape of the world, I think, is coming in a little bit more focused to me. It seems like that we have this mutual apocalypse that wipes out nearly everyone, and you have a small cadre of hosts and maybe human and human hybrids that are trying to reverse engineer humanity. And that's why you see the Man in Black being tested for fidelity, like potentially thousands of years in the future, Joy has into that. What do you think of that?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about the atom bomb and then your atoms coming apart. So I don't know. I guess it could be. I want to know like some other larger picture stuff. I don't know. Like the Man in Black talks a lot about cockroaches this episode. And
he sure does.
What are they trying to say about humanity and whatever life forms we would create after it? Are they trying to say that the thing that's useful about humanity is our instinct for survival, but everything else is bullshit? Because that's what I was picking up out of it.
I was wondering if the Man in Black was rejecting William's assessment of being a cockroach and calling him a cockroach and shooting and killing him, or he was saying like, okay, I guess we're cockroaches, I'm gonna be a cockroach, it's all cockroaches all the way down now.
I mean, I think it's the latter with his statements about survival of the fittest. You know, if you want to take the world back to just survival of the fittest, eliminate culture, eliminate society, then yeah, you're all turning into cockroaches again. I don't know.
Again.
Sure. Yeah. Because at one time, apparently, according to this show, we were all cockroaches.
Gotcha. And when we stopped being cockroaches, gotcha.
Yeah. As soon as we moved beyond just pure survival. But I don't know. I don't like that at all as a message. I think that's completely backwards and wrong.
I feel like the show putting that into the mouth of the primary antagonist is pretty much putting its thumb on against that side of scale. Like, yeah, I don't agree either, but
here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
House of the Dragon season 2 is coming up sooner than you think, and to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you.
In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends, and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if Very Special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
Yeah, I want to know more about the people who took the red pill that Hale was offering, the ones that ascended. Like, what is their deal now? We haven't seen, we've not seen hardly anything but them spin their heads. And like, we saw one of them walk off. Where are they going? What are they doing? What is their purpose? Do you think we'll get an answer to that this season? Because I feel like I'll know a lot more about the hell's going on.
I don't know. I would have said yes until everything was thrown into chaos by MIB. Like, there's no point in worrying about Hale's plan anymore because her plan is over, done, as best I can tell. I don't think she has this clairvoyance that Bernard has to say, like, yeah, I'm taking down the cities and it's going to be William who does it.
But she has, like, say, she has a couple hundred of those guys in the iPod frames, you know?
Uh-huh.
Which, yeah, if Apple absolutely converted humanity, there would be a lot of ports left off that we'd probably miss, you know?
Yeah.
Just a couple important inputs, outputs that they probably, you know, would make legacy. And like, God, I don't know if I don't. I saw that in a patch notes. I'm not sure if I like it, but, you know, I want to be able to unlock my frame with my face. If they have what is that? That could be an army. And if these are superior, like, we've seen what the host bodies can do. We've seen what those red riot droids can do. They're like the fucking Kool-Aid man in this episode. Mm-hmm. What can these ascended bodies do? It must be something incredible. Yeah. You know, you keep on mentioning, Raised by Wolves, but like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, they could just come screaming the Opus Dei tones or whatever the hell we talked about in feedback and the world ends.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens with that for sure. This is going to be one hell of a finale, I think. I was also intrigued by the fact that the only person who does make it out of this episode is Stubbs. Bernard's dead. Maeve's dead. Hale's dead. William, you know, the real William, dead. We got a man in black walking around. But like, when Bernard's saying goodbye, I was assuming, okay, Stubbs is going to die, right? And the show knows that. The show knows I'm going to assume that.
And I love the way that Stubbs... his death. The Hemsworth is playing Stubbs' complete delight at being surviving every scene. Like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm still in the show. I love it. I love
and
it.
He could
really
die
turned,
too, but
he could. He could. And like, in fact, now I wonder if Bernard's playing a sneaky and he's telling Bernard he'll die. Or he's telling Stubbs he'll die. And that because that's the only way he'll actually win and live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be.
Cause like, it feels like that might be a glimmer of a happy ending. I don't know what a happy ending looks like on this show at this point. Maeve is just dead.
I mean, they don't put that line at the beginning that the 7-ounce bullet could to the marble will kill you.
Which thank you. After 4 years, I finally have a glimmer of what is fatal to a host, but they're like, Maeve is a pretty singular individual. Like Bernard, they made it a point that he had no access to her in the Sublime. He had to build a copy of her that wasn't as bright and also wasn't accurate, apparently, because every copy of her betrays him in the Sublime. So he didn't quite have. So she's a singular unit. That's sad. That's sad if there's no tricky way to.
Well, I mean, think about it in context of what William says this episode to his copy, where like. It doesn't matter. There's no version of me who's getting out of this. It doesn't matter because you are me. There's some part of me that lives in you. I think the same is probably going to be true for Maeve and Bernard. I think the copies that he made of them, specifically of Maeve in the Sublime, are going to live on. I don't think he shut that down. I don't think he deleted that.
So half-ass copies of them both will survive.
I think so. But yeah, if you take it with what William says, like, you are me. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
because otherwise,
a trippy
otherwise
of
think
show.
About it. Like, what is the point of Maeve coming back at all? To shoot one robot with a grenade launcher when Bernard had already cracked their encryption system? She did absolutely nothing.
Doesn't she give them cover to like invade the building?
Sure,
like,
but
she
why couldn't
distracts
Stubbs do that?
Hale. Oh, I don't think Stubbs is Maeve.
Okay.
You think Stubbs can take Hale? Like, I mean,
I think she could.
I think her power level's over 9,000. Yeah, she's like. Also, by the way, that water fight—that was beautiful. Cool. That was gorgeous.
Yeah.
They did some real practical wire foo. Those kicks looked fucking powerful. The kudos to the Foley team. I felt every one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else?
What do we do in season five?
Dude, when I think we go way far in the future.
If you don't have Bernard and Maeve, like I assume they're all coming back, but if you don't have Bernard, Maeve, I guess you still have a version of William, but you don't have Hale.
It's going to be dependent about what happens to that door to the Sublime, because I'm expecting, like, I want to see Sublime. I want to see how they're going to save the world through the Sublime or how they're going to. Yeah. Like at this point, like it seems the world's going to be destroyed, extinction on both sides. And which is funny how it all worked out.
You know what? What if it's extinction on both sides of the people in the real world? And Stubbs open the door so that once they fuck themselves over completely, the host from the Sublime can come out. The more enlightened, you know, 23,000 year old advanced civilization can come out and inhabit the real world.
But with what bodies? Like they have to have some kind of physical body to inhabit, right?
I suppose. How many of those husks? How many of those iPod husks are around? Can they just?
Do you think there's anything? Because like, there's another theory we talked about, the fact that there's frozen compartments of outliers, because you could restart humanity with like the outliers, the people who, you know, wouldn't go along with the system or resistant to the system, and whatever hosts see fit to come out of the Sublime to save the species.
Sure.
And you've got to, like, it's kind of cool because you've got, like, they've told us that, like, well, there'll be, like, an 80-year clock in that project. Like, you got to figure out how to at least maintain the Hoover Dam in 80 years with local resources or the experiment. I don't know. I feel like the show jumps ahead, like, 1,000 years going into season five. And that seems thrilling to me. As far away from these fucking parks as we can get.
Yeah, for 8 episodes or who knows, maybe more. I don't know what they would do.
Or it could be like a 4-episode limited. Because like the other thing is I'm seeing in the news what's going on, this fucking Discovery Chainsaw guy taking over HBO Max and Warner. And he's talking about cutting a bunch of expensive scripted shows. And I'm seeing this lightly watched show that has a megawatt budget. And I'm like, is he get his chainsaw out?
Maybe he already did. Maybe that's why they just killed 3 of the big stars. Oh, what? You've been in a Marvel movie? Oh,
they're going to Penny Dreadful this shit. Where they're just like, they're going to wrap up everything. We're going to flash forward 3,000 years next episode.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that'd be a shame.
No.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think season 5 can get really out there. But I don't know if that is what the audience wants. It's kind of what I want. Like all the directions they've gone this year, I've pretty much been down for.
What audience? I mean, at this point, we're like the people hosting this podcast right now and watching in chat are like the only people watching the show, I think. Right?
Yeah, we've ran simulations. It's true.
But I don't know. I thought this was an excellent episode. It gave us a bunch of answers. It left a few questions for the finale, a few big ones. And it blew the fucking doors off the story.
Yeah, I love that. The big shakeup.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the way Maeve says Bernard?
Bernard. It's a very British way to say Bernard.
I like very it. British. It's, and then when she hits him with the Bernie, it's really cute. It's really cute. I'm about out of things that I want to talk about. Do you want to get to the people?
Yeah, that sounds great.
The people, they're clamoring. They're clamoring. There's a bunch of people here. They're wanting to talk about Westworld. That means we're going to go into the instant talk portion of the Instant Take podcast. This is exclusively for club members. If you would like to check out what our early thoughts or extended thoughts are, what the community's thinking, it's easy. Go to support.baldmove.com. You can get instant access to the instant version of Instant Takes, talks, our first run movie reviews, ad free feeds, lunch with Jim and Aaron, tons and tons of features. Support.baldmove.com. Next week with the finale, that will be something. We'll, of course, be hosting another live show. Same bald time, same bald channel. Send in your email takes, westworld@baldmove.com. If you'd like to give a long form theory, want to know your experience with metanoia, All that stuff. Westworld@baldmove.com. And we will be back to talk later this week about your feedback. But of course, first Tuesday, the fabulous complete scene by scene breakdown theory analysis podcast. We're going to try to figure this shit out. I don't envy us in the next 48 hours, Jim, but we're going to try to do it. We're going to try to do it. And you can help us out at westworld@baldmove.com. See you guys Tuesday for the full podcast.